Good morning. You know, God's prophecy is like our current weather forecast, 100%. You don't often see 100% chance of rain in the forecast. They nailed it, didn't they? They nailed it almost to the minute, I tell you. And I kept hearing these stories every time somebody would come in the building this morning. Oh my gosh, I was like, I know. I went right through it myself. Every time today that you see or hear or physically feel one of those raindrops, I want you to remember the promise and providence of Almighty God, who has fulfilled his promise in the person of Jesus Christ. We hear this text about Bethlehem, that someone from antiquity, from eternity, is coming to be the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. So let the rain fall, for the sun does shine, because Jesus is the ultimate star of Bethlehem, such an insignificant little town that we're going to spend some time with today. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel pretty insignificant. You know, it's like, oh, you little clan of Bethlehem, Judah, you tiny little town of Bethlehem, out of you will come the ruler of nations. In fact, wise men from afar traveled many miles to pay homage, to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And each one of those gifts represents what we would call a prophet, priest, and a king. Today's title of the sermon is Prophet, Priest, and Paradox. Prophet, priest, and paradox. A paradox is something that it seems self-contradictory, yet true. It seems contradictory to have a God-man, Jesus Christ. True. It seems contradictory that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would be born in Bethlehem, this little town. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't think this is the way we would script the story. But I sure am thankful for the story, God's story. God's story, and by faith we can be children of God Almighty, who does not write a boring story. If you had the patience, the time, and the willingness to endure some really awful, tragic stories, I could tell you the story of my life. And I'm here. Okay? I feel insignificant a lot. You know? But I know that God has done something in my life. And he can do something in your life. And so today, we're going to look at this prophet, priest, and king, right? So Jesus is the King of Kings. He was born a child and yet a king. He was the prophet. People beyond believers recognized Jesus as a prophet, one who taught with authority. He was a prophet. And the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, this little tiny town, goes way back. It goes way back. And Jesus, the priest, the high priest, what's ironic is that Jesus is that high priest. He is also the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world. So we're going to be looking at a little bit in Hebrews today. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, then I'm going to jump over to chapter 4. And if you want some more high priestly scripture, you can just keep on reading the book of Hebrews and enjoy that journey. Then I want to jump back to Genesis, because we need to go back to the beginning of the story. Because God just didn't wake up one day and say, oh my gosh, Bethlehem, that looks like a good spot to send my boy. No, it was all a part of the plan. And then I'll conclude with a scripture from Galatians. So let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers and companions, in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He is faithful. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. Just as Moses was in all God's household, for Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses. Just as the builder has more honor than the house. Now every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household as a testimony to what would be said in the future. Let me just go ahead and put a note in here. Moses, what's Moses really known for other than standing up and saying, let my people go, and being a medium of these plagues, right? Talking to Pharaoh, right? He's the giver of the law, right? The law. And so it's a testimony of what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household, whose household we are if we hold to the courage and confidence of our hope. When it rains and it pours and it floods, turn around, don't drown, right? Just hold on to hope that Jesus is coming to get you or to take you. In chapter 4, therefore, verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. And some translations will say, when we need it. We always need it. In all times that we need Jesus is the proper time, right? So at the right time, God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, in this little town of Bethlehem, in this little tiny stable, this dusty, dirty stable, in a place where animals are just hanging out and eating. That is where God himself took off his regal robe and stepped and stooped down into our mess for us. You hear those raindrops? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. God's promises will be fulfilled. God's promises have been fulfilled. And sometimes when it's raining and it's pouring, and we're up to our neck in water, all we can do is say, come, Lord Jesus. And as we're in this Advent season, we're going through, we're reenacting this story of God coming to us in this little baby. But what is the purpose of him coming to us? It is for us. Because his destiny is a cross. His destiny is Jerusalem. Bethlehem, this little town about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. The city of David. This little insignificant town where the prophet Samuel goes and anoints this little shepherd boy who becomes a king. Jesus, the son of David, who is the good shepherd and the high priest, not only offers himself as the sacrifice, but he is the sacrifice once and for all that those little lambs in Bethlehem that are taken to the temple in Jerusalem, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And we, the sinners, who need the blood and forgiveness, the grace and the mercy of Almighty God through Jesus. Jesus is that sacrificial lamb. Jesus, the high priest, who is faithful to the end. Jesus, the high priest, and the Lamb of God. I want to jump back to Genesis chapter 48. And you know, I said that God's story is not boring. Your story isn't boring. You may think at times that you may be insignificant, just ordinary. Mundane. But by and through God, you can do extraordinary things. So Genesis chapter 48. This is the end of Genesis. And if you remember, Joseph sold into slavery. He saves his people. He saves the Egyptians also. Let's take a look at verse 7, and we're going to go to verse 20. When I was returning, now this is Jacob. This is Jacob speaking. When I, Jacob, was returning from Padan, to my sorrow, Rachel died along the way some distance from Ephrath. In the land of Canaan. I buried her there along the way to Ephrath. That is Bethlehem. And so we heard this earlier in the Micah text, Micah 5:2. Bethlehem, Ephrathah. They are synonymous. Rachel, the mother of Joseph, dies in childbirth of Joseph's younger son, or younger brother, Benjamin. And so here it is at the end of Jacob's life, who is renamed Israel. Okay, now it's getting good, right? So Jacob renamed Israel. He's the one that stole the blessing from his brother because Isaac was old and couldn't see. And wow, it's going to get rich here. All right? So, and when Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "These are my sons God has given me here." This guy was dead in the bottom of a well. But no, God took him out of that well and took him to Egypt. God took him out of the dungeon and placed him on the second of the throne. No one greater in Egypt, in all of Egypt, except for Pharaoh. And so here we are. Jacob finally gets to see his grandsons. And Jacob said, bring them to me, and I will bless them. Now, Jacob's eyesight was poor because of old age. He could hardly see. Joseph brought them to him, and he kissed them and he embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again. But now God has even let me see your offspring. Then Joseph took them from his father, and he bowed with his face to the ground. And then Joseph took them. Now, pay attention. Now, Joseph took them with his right hand. He took Ephraim. These are his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He took Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left. And with his left hand, he took Manasseh toward Israel's right. And he brought them to Israel, to Jacob, his father. But Israel stretched out his hand and put his hand on Ephraim's head, the younger, and crossing his hands. This ain't a mistake. And crossing his hands, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head. Although Manasseh was the firstborn. Jacob was not the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and he said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow to be numerous within the land. When Joseph saw that his father had placed his right hand on Ephraim's head, he thought it was a mistake. And he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's. Joseph said to his father, you better put yourself in the text right now. This is you and me all day long, right? He said, Joseph said to his father, not that way, my father. Not that way, my father. This one is the firstborn. Put your hand on his head. And this is the response we often get from the father. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a tribe, and he too will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his offspring will become a populous nation. So he blessed them that day with these words. Israel will invoke blessings by you, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. The prophet Samuel is from Ephraim. He anoints David, the son of Jesse, the young son of Jesse, the little boy who's out in the fields tending the sheep in Bethlehem. And it's the same fields where these shepherds are watching their flock by night that the angels come and said, good news of great joy. Today there's a Savior that's been born in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. Who'd have thunk it? Bethlehem. This little tiny town. You know, we may think that we're experiencing these insignificant, these ordinary moments, but God can transform those. You know, a lot of people may not know. I started working at Home Depot back in August. And it's a humbling experience. It's hard work. I'm not against hard work. I like hard work. It can be dusty. It can be dirty. There can be heavy lifting. and downright demanding customers. And I have a new saying. I love customers who love me. That's easy, ain't it? That's easy. But see, while we were yet sinners and enemies against God, the high priest offered the sacrifice himself. While we were enemies of God. I mean, it's hard to love our enemies, you know, and pray for those who persecute us. It's easy to love the ones who love us. And so I like to do my best, and I look for opportunities. And there was this one day, so I'm in the garden section. I call it the garden continent because I'm telling you, it's all over the store. It ain't just one little section. I mean, I just learned the other day, like, oh, there's the cage. The cage is, like, over there. We got section over here. We got a section over here. We got all the seasonal stuff. The garden continent. Not to mention the trailers of wheat straw and pine straw. You go out there, you talk about, Dustin, you come out there, let's just say what comes out of your nostrils is not the same color as when you went in there. You know what I'm saying? Got a call. One bale of wheat straw. That's a good call, right? I can do one bale of wheat straw, no problem. I get out there, it's a Monday morning. Strangest thing happened. And this is the thing. It's an insignificant, mundane moment that God is allowing an opportunity to make it an extraordinary moment. By one little bale of wheat straw. And I get there, and I'm going to tell you, I was a little territorial as he was climbing up the steps, looking in the trailer. I'm kind of like, who the heck are you? You know? Get off my lap, you know? And so I get up there, you know, I'm all nice, and how's it going? And, oh, well, it's Monday. Oh, my gosh, this guy was a downer. I mean, a downer. And he started talking about Monday, it's Monday. And he made like a little innuendo, if you will, about just like wishing life was over. That was my opportunity right there. I was like, uh-uh. I said, nah, don't do that. Don't do that. And the next thing you know, I'm talking about wheat straw and the straw upon which Jesus was laying in a manger. And I said, do not. I'm going to challenge you. Do not think like that. Enjoy the day that God has given you because it's a gift. And the greatest gift that's ever been given was Jesus in the dirty, dusty stable. There is no bag of mulch too heavy to lift. There's no dusty trailer dusty enough to recognize and forget that every raindrop that you hear today, that every raindrop that you feel today is a reminder of the providence and the promise of God Almighty, that He loves us and comes down to us because we got to have it that way. There's no other way. Galatians. To sum it all up, Galatians 3:19. Why the law then? You see, the law required the sacrificing of the animals. It was added because of the transgressions until the seed, that's Jesus, until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. The law was ordered through angels by the means of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not one, just one person, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, contrary to God's promise? Absolutely not. For if the law had been given that was able to give life, then righteousness would certainly be by the law. But the scripture has imprisoned everything under sin's power, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for you are all sons and daughters, children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. One bale of wheat straw, that's all it takes. One bale of wheat straw. When you think a moment is so mundane and an ordinary opportunity arises, share the good news so that the light of Christ might shine in the life of someone who desperately needs it. And I'll go ahead and tell you, we all need it. Amen.